Hey, yo, listen, it's going down just like this.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Praise in the City. I thank you so much for joining me. What's going on, y'all? Happy Saturday. So today we're going to be talking about a really awesome topic. What is the price of redemption? And joining me in the discussion will be some cast members from a new film called Myra's Angel. So stay with us. I'd like to know, what's the cost of redemption? But right now, let's hear a moment of inspiration.
I had enough heartache and enough headache. I've had so many ups and downs. Don't know how much more I can take. See, I decided either I'm gonna trust you, or I may as well walk away. 'Cause stressing don't make it better. Don't make it better, no way. See, I decided that I cried my last tears yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. Mary Mary sure does sound good. Good morning, everybody. This is Tiffany Bacon. Welcome to Praise in the City on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Today we are talking about the price of redemption. Say you have lived a life where you've made a multitude of mistakes. So you've done some things that were not exactly great. What is it going to cost for you to be redeemed? I mean, outside, of course, of Jesus. But what is it going to cost for your family, your friends, the ones around you, for you to be redeemed in spirit, for you to no longer be this person that they once knew? Do you have a story of redemption? We would love to hear that this morning. Give us a call at 215-263-1039. As we begin to talk about this topic, we have some awesome guests joining us in studio and via the telephone to talk about a play. So I'm so used to seeing these awesome folks in plays, but they're actually in a film called Myra's Angel, and it's actually an award-winning film, and they are representing Philadelphia. Philly is representing strong in this film, so please welcome to the show Tiffany Green and Toby Gaddison. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you guys so much for being here. I really appreciate it. So if you guys could just tell me, and I'll start with Toby because I can see him, and then I will okay. Send it to you, Tiffany. Tell us about this film.
Well, this film is it's an amazing film. It's about a young man who is on the precipice of getting out of the street life, so to speak, and something tragic happens to him.
Oh, wow.
And he turns to drugs and just a deeper level of the streets.
Mm.
And so on this topic of redemption, the story is about him and his quest to redeem himself and, try to clear his name from a crime that he didn't commit, all in the process. So, life is starting to catch up to this guy.
Mm-hmm. And you played this guy.
And I play this guy. I play the lead character, Nicholas.
Okay. So what was it like to prepare to play someone that's clearly so conflicted and has so much going on?
It was extreme, being that he turned to a number of addictions. First, I had to learn about the pathology of addictions,
mm-hmm.
And how people just wound up becoming, because we all have addictions, right?
Yeah.
But his addictions were drug related. So I spent a lot of nights out on the street, walking mm-hmm. around, actually, dressing up in the actual costume that I wore in the movie on the streets for mm-hmm. like hours and hours and days upon days, just really getting that feel of despondency, want, just brokenness. Because when you're addicted, it's a never ending cycle. Like, you hate yourself, and then you you get that drug or whatever it may be, and mm-hmm. then you're satisfied for that hot second, but then you're ashamed of yourself. So it's a cyclical
mm-hmm.
thing. So
mm-hmm.
it was a amazing process of transformation. Went to AA meetings and the whole nine.
Wow. Yeah. You went all the way in.
Had to.
But that's what actors do.
That's what we do.
That's what actors do. All right. Tiffany, I'd love to hear your take on the film. First, tell me how you first responded to the script when you received it.
This is my third time actually working with the actual writer of Myra's Angel.
Mm-hmm.
The first project that we were in, actually the first project that I actually did with him, I was nominated for Best Actress in Atlantic City Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and then we did like a web series. But every time this writer writes something, he's so great at writing stories
mm-hmm.
that before I even read the script, I already knew that I was going to do it. He's one of those
writers
where you write
That's
something,
right.
you're like, it's going to be a good character. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And when I read the story, I was amazed at it, the twist that it had.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. It's happy times in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very devastating, devastating times in the movie, but mm-hmm. it's also uplifting.
Yeah.
So when I read it, I was like, you know what? This is a character I would definitely like to play, because she has to go places where she didn't go before.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching the transformation with Nicholas playing his fiance, mm-hmm. it was amazing. So it was definitely like a script that you would say, okay, you know what? I need to do this.
Okay. Okay. And what were some of the things you had to do to prepare to play the fiance?
You know, I just did a lot of research. I can't tell you the twist of it, but I did a lot of research on families that lose loved ones.
Okay.
And how to respond with that. And, you know, and I did a lot of research on, I have children myself, so I just did a lot of research on, you know, being a parent of a young child, because I have boys. I didn't have a daughter. So just being, like, attached to a daughter and having a father who really loves his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of things that was sticking in my head. But more so dealing with a fiancé
mm-hmm.
who's using drugs. And how do you deal with that? Like, how do you stay in a relationship with someone who's using heroin? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. Yeah,
and, you
yeah.
know, and still try to keep your family together and keep yourself together and mm-hmm. make sure everything is okay day to day. So that was very difficult, because I've never been around anyone who actually does heroin. I've been around people who, you know, were on drugs, but it was mm-hmm. always hidden.
Yeah.
It was never to the point where you can just actually physically see it.
Wow.
Like, something is wrong with them. Then for them to be so intimate with me, that mm-hmm. was something that I definitely had to, you know, do some research on, just to say, like, how do you cope with that? Like, what do you do?
Right.
Do you stay? Do you leave?
Right,
you know,
right,
it was
right.
very, very difficult. So, but it worked out really good. But it was definitely a lot of research on that, because it wasn't, everything wasn't always happy.
Right, right, right. Well, you know what's really interesting, and one of the reasons why I also wanted to spend the time this morning talking about the price of redemption, you know, for those of us that are Christian, we already know Jesus paid the cost. But once we do something, once we break someone's trust, especially a large number of mm-hmm. someone's, our close mm-hmm. family, our friends, our communities, whatever they may be, what does it take to regain their trust? How long does it take? And how does the person who broke the trust to begin with, what type of patience do they have mm-hmm. to actually get that back? And so if you don't mind, if you have any stories like that, have you ever broken someone's trust and you had to redeem yourself? How did you personally, Tiffany, Toby, deal with that?
Oh, jeez.
And I'm going to yes. post this while you guys, yes. Oh, this isn't, you know, candy corn and,
right,
and,
right, right. Yeah,
and cough
yeah.
drops first thing in the morning. You know, we go in. Mm-hmm. But I am asking you, my listening audience, the same question. Do you have a story of redemption? Have you broken someone's trust before and had to gain it back? How long did it take? What did you go through in the meantime? Or are you someone who had their trust broken? How long did it take you to trust the person again, if you ever did? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. So, Toby, we'll start with you.
Oh, okay, Oprah.
Yes.
Dang. Well, let's see. Geez, you know, what instance can I think what happens is, you know, in my early years, I used to live in New Orleans, and mm-hmm. It was just such a such an interesting time, you know, because when I got down there, I got involved in, you know, selling, you know, weed and things of that nature. And, mm. you know, at the time I was living with my aunt, and, you know, that was just horrible. You mm. know what I mean? Just, and she didn't know, but I would just come in late smelling all kinds of ridiculous and things of that nature. And, you know, I messed up some money and, you know, just, you know, try to, you know, do certain things to, you know, to reconcile that. But but when I made my turnaround, it takes patience, because you're not in control of the other person's level of forgiveness.
Right, 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 right.
So first of all, you have to, number one, forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And then that change comes from the inside, you know, from the inside to the outside. So it's, number one, forgiving yourself. Number two, actually making that change. Two, making amends and apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then four, I would say it's going to have to be consistency, because mm-hmm. you're not in charge of that other person's level of forgiveness. You don't know when they're going to say, if they ever will.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to continue to live your life, because, you know, the scriptures say, like, you have to love God with all of your heart and your soul. But then, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't love themselves enough mm-hmm. to love their neighbor in mm-hmm. the way that we're called to.
Mm-hmm.
And loving yourself really does mean, you know, not judging yourself at that point of conversion, when you're like, you know, I apologize, I'm sorry, and then you make steps in your life to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be patient with yourself. You have to continue to love yourself and have mercy with yourself, and continue to make the right choices for your life,
mm-hmm.
and then keep it pushing, because sometimes the people you hurt, they may not ever forgive you.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then, you know, vice versa. If you're wronged, you know, and legitimately wrong, it's a mm-hmm. process too. Because on Tuesday, you may forgive that person. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, you may see a picture of them on Facebook and get mad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And have to re-forgive a whole nine. So that's mm-hmm. a process in and of itself, because hurt is real.
Yeah, true. Very true. Tiffany, what say you?
You know what? I was sitting here thinking there was a couple of things I wanted to talk about. One that I thought was very personal, so I guess I could share that one. But just growing up with my mom and our relationship, mm-hmm. and how a lot of things that I felt that she, you know, that she had done was very, very hurtful. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I don't even know if I've ever really forgave it. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. like I've always been respectful, and we have a okay relationship, but it's never been the relationship that it was prior to some of the things that had happened.
Gotcha.
And I can tell, like, you know, she reaches out for it. But I think with me and how I am with everything, I am 100, 200%, you know, loyal and, mm-hmm. and a good friend to people, mm-hmm. or a good child. But when you do certain things to me, and mm-hmm. it has to happen over a period of time. It doesn't be like one situation and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. But when somebody constantly do stuff to me, mm-hmm. especially back then, you know, and sometimes now, like, I may not speak on it as it happened,
yeah.
but it's kind of like a buildup.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, once you get me to that point, mm-hmm. I don't know if I forgive that well. Like, you know,
yeah.
I forget. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like hinders like my relationship, because it's like, well, I know what you did before, even mm-hmm. though, you know, we're trying to build now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I ever get to that point where I feel like, you know, I can just let stuff go, because I'm what? This is 15, 20 years later, and I still have
yeah.
those feelings. And if I think of certain situations, it can still affect me.
Right. So, and your feelings are valid. And I think sometimes, yeah. you know, we do get that pressure to, you know, not to validate our own feelings for whatever the reason, because of who the person is, or, you know, your relationship to the person. So, yeah, your feelings are valid.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, and that's what I was sitting here listening. I'm like, wow, what can I think about? And then I'm thinking about other stuff. I'm like, wow, even my own mother's situation, which is really, you know, very intimate, but I never really completely forgave, because if I did, our relationship probably would be a lot better.
Yeah.
It's not the worst, but it could be a lot better, but it's just a part of me that doesn't, it just doesn't allow it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't. So I don't know.
I can understand.
Yeah.
But if you, like I said, Tiffany, if you do something for over a period of time,
mm-hmm.
that's when it's like, it gets to a point where I just can't take it no more. Cause I can tolerate a whole lot. And that's yeah. the relationships and things like that too.
Yeah.
Cause I was going to talk about that, but I was like, no, I'll talk about my mom. But even in my relationship, just trying to get back to how it used to be, is so many things that has happened.
So many yeah. obstacles.
And I'm like, wow, oof. I don't know.
Honey, it's almost like you need a Schwinn bike to navigate through some of the stuff in your life.
And a GPS.
And a GPS. Exactly. Or an old-fashioned map, because even GPS will lose signal sometimes.
Rerouting.
Rerouting, exactly.
Ah, that's a good one.
All right, so we want to invite the listening audience into the conversation. We're talking about the price of redemption this morning here on Praise in the City. We're on Praise 103.9 FM. We welcome your phone calls. We want to know, have you ever done something and you lost someone's trust? Mm-hmm. How did you manage waiting or dealing with it until that person, if that person ever did forgive you? How did you manage? Or on the flip side, did someone lose your trust? How long did it take you to regain their trust, or how long did it take you to forgive them and allow them back into your life, if ever? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go to Glenn, calling in from Winfield. Glenn, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Breathing on schedule. Thank you.
Yeah, good.
Yes, sir.
Well, real briefly, my story is active drug addiction for 25, 30 years, depending on how you calculate it. I got clean and got saved in 1993,
mm-hmm.
and along my journey, I found 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and mm-hmm. he will exalt you. But here's the key word, in due time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to. So my experience is that you do Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Be not conformed, but be transformed.
Yes.
By constant study. And you are transformed. And in due time, things turn around.
Mm.
But the price is time.
Mm.
You cannot get something. You cannot go back. And for example, I missed, and it was just impactful to me, when I saw some kids moving into college dorms one day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a wonderful relationship with my son now, but I missed that period.
Mm.
Can't go back and get it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm alive for my grandson and granddaughters to go to college,
mm-hmm.
and experience it with them, it won't be with my son. So mm-hmm. I think the price is time.
Mm-hmm. 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 And sometimes we get antsy about
gaining it and losing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
well,
we get antsy
Bible
about that.
The Bible is replete with in due time, in due season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes if you're running ahead of God, you might be running too fast.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Glenn. We really appreciate your story. Thank you so much for sharing your story of redemption with us this morning.
Thanks, Glenn, man. And congratulations on your sobriety and all mm-hmm. of that.
Well, God is good.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All the time.
Be encouraged.
Yeah, you're right.
You too. Take care. We do have somebody else on the phone. Let's see if they are ready to go. All right, let's go with Mimi calling in on line 3. Mimi, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, your question really touched my heart. I've been on both sides of needing forgiveness and redemption and having to be in a position of forgiving mm-hmm. Someone else who has offended me.
Yeah.
And at first, the first thing I was going to speak on was, you know, how did I handle it? My fiancé was an addict, and I married him. He's still an addict, but he's not an active addict, if
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean. He's in recovery, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the easier thing for me to look at and speak about how, you know, I had to come through the process and go to NA meetings and NARA non-meetings and sit with mm-hmm. people who weren't necessarily saved or Christians and figure out how to physically and mentally cope, you know, apart mm-hmm. from my Christianity with, you know, loving someone who was in an active addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And praise God, we're beyond that. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, but you've hurt other people too, you
mm-hmm.
know, and he reminded me that I've been in a position where, and it's, you know, probably not uncommon, but I went through a divorce when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
and I got married very young. So after being married for 13 years, I went through a divorce,
mm-hmm.
and I gave my children to my husband. And so it was kind of like, you know, let me do me, you
mm-hmm.
know, let me be free.
Mm-hmm.
And there was resentment there because I have daughters. There was resentment there. And mm-hmm. When I came to myself, right,
mm-hmm.
I realized, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do. And they were probably with their dad maybe for a little over a year. But at the point that I came to myself,
mm-hmm.
they weren't speaking to me anymore. And they had severed the relationship. And it didn't matter how much I reached out to them. They were non-receptive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to make a decision. Okay, number one, I had to accept my role in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to admit that, you know, I had made mistakes and that I needed to ask for their forgiveness. And how I went about it was I just began, they wouldn't accept my phone calls, so I just began to send them cards. And, you know, the beautiful Helen Steiner Rice cards
yeah.
have wonderful words on the front.
Mm-hmm. All that, yep.
I just began to pour my heart out in the card. And the first card I sent, you know, one to each daughter, the first card I sent just said, you know, hi, I love you so much. I miss you so much. And today I thought about when I brought you home from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I took it back to basics
mm-hmm.
to let them know. I really tried to expose my heart to let them know, you know, that this is where I am. And it didn't. They didn't come around on the first card. They didn't come around on the second card.
Mm-hmm.
And I also put money in the card, too, to let them know, you know, I'm thinking about you. And if you have something that you're in need of,
yeah.
you know, here is something for you.
Yeah.
And you know, and eventually, right, so I didn't give up. And when I thought about how, you know, God never gives up on us mm-hmm. and how he would leave that whole flock to come after one lost, you know, sheep. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what, I have to go with abandon, you know, to make sure that I reconcile this relationship because I was in error. And whatever mm-hmm. I need to do in order to do that, I'm willing to do. So mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, laid my pride aside mm-hmm. and, you know, let the children know that, you know, I love you. I'm here. I'm a person mm-hmm. who made mistakes, but I want to be a part of your life, an active mm-hmm. part of your life.
All right. Mimi, thank you so much for sharing something so completely personal. And thank you for checking out the program this morning. I really appreciate that.
Amen. That's right.
Guys, have a blessed day.
You too.
You do the same. All right, Tiffany and Toby, stay on the line. We're going to talk more about the film Myra's Angel. We are talking specifically on the topic of what is the price of redemption in your own life? Have you lost someone's trust? How long did it take for you to gain it back? If you ever did, how did you deal with it? On the flip side, did someone lose your trust? Did you ever forgive them? Did you ever have them re-enter your life again? If so, if not, tell us why. 215-263-1039. Praise in the City will continue after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the second half of today's edition of Praise in the City. Joining me via the phone and in studio, Tiffany Green and Toby Gaddison of the film Myra's Angel. And we're talking about redemption today. Mm-hmm. Have you ever lost someone's trust? How long did it take for them to trust you again? Did they ever? And how did you deal with it? On the flip side, did someone lose your trust? How long did it take you to forgive them, if you ever did? And why or why not? So give us a call, 215-263-1039. Guys, you know, one of the interesting things about redemption is, I guess it depends, like Tiffany was saying, it depends on who you are and who the person is. That's you know, right. Sometimes people can just be one and done. Like, oh, you do one thing wrong to me and that's it. Like, I just can't trust you anymore. And then there are those who are just like, you know what, I give people some grace. But after a point, it's mm-hmm. like, come on. So what would you say is the fine line between this is who someone is and how they do things. And this is just a mistake they made because they don't know what else to do.
Patterns.
Oh, you took the word.
T. Green. Yeah, man. Patterns. You know, if this is something habitual, continual, then you'd have to just chalk it up to, okay, this is just how this person is wired. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And versus, okay, they made a mistake or what have you. Because the interesting part, too, is like if it's a pattern, then you may not be able to ever trust that person in, you know, a certain context or in a certain arena or what have you. But you still have to continue to love them. And you may not have to you may not be able to even kind of deal with them on a social level, depending on, you know, what it is. But at the same time, the tricky part is to still forgive them. But that level of trust, because, you know, I saw this meme on the internet the other day and it said,
and explain what a meme is, because there are people who are like, what is
okay,
that?
A meme, you know, those pictures, and then they have like the words, my face when somebody cuts in front of me in traffic, and it's like a random picture. So those types of pictures that we see. And they said, you know, a trust takes a lifetime to build, but seconds to destroy. You know what I mean? And it's and it's one of those things that you may not be able to ever, you know, trust that person. But I think forgiveness is an the most important component of that, because we all need forgiveness. Like,
Right.
You know, nobody's walking on this earth perfect. I don't care how many church services you go to. I don't care how many times, like, you will make a mistake, you know, towards somebody, to somebody, in the whole nine. So in as much as, you know, somebody needs your forgiveness, we also need to be forgiven on a daily basis.
Right.
So we have to have that readily available. And it's not always an easy thing, but, you know, it still needs to, you know, it still needs to happen.
Amen. Your thoughts, Tiff?
The same thing Toby was saying. If they're constantly still doing it years later, that's really just like who they are. I think with me, what I'm learning to do right now is just to speak upon anything that somebody does that I don't like.
Yeah.
Instead of holding it in. Because when you hold it in, that's what makes it harder for me to forgive somebody instead of just calling them on it. You did something wrong. You know what? Let me speak on that right now and have a conversation. Because when you don't, it just builds up. And then you just get to a point where you just, you know, I just can't forgive them. I'll still communicate with them, but I'm just going to pull away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm realizing that if you just spoke on it at that time, then it wouldn't probably be as bad. And if they didn't correct it then, then you know what? Okay, now I know how I need to deal with you. I know how our relationships need to go forward. But if you never speak on it, you just keep it in and just feel like, well, I'm not going to say anything. It's not good.
And it's interesting you say that. And I see we have some folks calling in. We're going to get to those calls in just a second. It's interesting you say that because, you know, sometimes the longer we don't deal with something, we start to invent things or create situations around it, and we're responding to what we've created
in
not
your own
what
mind.
To what, right, in your own mind, and not responding to what actually happened. So, you know, it just becomes like a sore.
Yeah, and the facts get blown out of context,
and
you don't get the other person's perspective. So you're thinking that they're thinking one thing, and you're getting mad at that person from a conversation that you have in your own mind that y'all had, but
and it didn't even happen. Exactly. and that's just not like, oh, okay, you need to see a counselor. No, that's like a lot of times if you just don't deal with it.
Right.
It will get bigger than if you deal with it initially. So that's great. Thank you so much for bringing that up. We are taking your phone calls. My listening audience, my show is nothing without you. So we definitely want to hear from you. Have you ever lost someone's trust? How did you manage it while they were in the process of forgiving you? Did they ever forgive you? And how did you deal with that? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Also, if someone lost your trust, the same question goes out. How long did it take you to forgive them? Did you ever re-enter them into your life? And how did you deal with that? 215-263-1039. Let's go to Barbara calling in from North Philadelphia. Barbara, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I feel better. I'm getting better and better each day.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so you wanted to share a brief, and I'll have to say brief story because we don't have that much time left in the show.
Okay, it was this lady. We used to be friends. We used to sit outside where I live at, laugh and talk. Then one day I had to report her to the office. I went back to her to apologize. She refused to accept my apology. And now she's gone on to heaven. I'm still here. But I still have tried to make friends with her before she died. She started calling me names. I had to report her to the office from time and time again. I tried to forgive her, but she never forgave me.
Oh, wow. How did you feel about that? Or how do you feel about it now that she's passed on?
Well, I was saying, you know, you have to learn and to forget. I tried to forgive her like my pastor always teach us. Speak to that person, forgive them whether they accept your apology or not.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to apologize. She's told me, get away, so I just left her alone.
Yeah.
And I put it in God's hands. So now I wouldn't even sit outside up front.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of her was sitting up there. I don't want to be around her.
Yeah.
I don't want to see because I'm changing for the better.
And that's good, Miss Barbara. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go to the next call.
Okay.
I think that's okay.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing this morning, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, Miss Barbara sounds like she make a mean batch of cookies, too, boy.
All right, Miss Barbara, you have a great day. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Rita calling in from North Philly as well. Rita, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. This is my first time. I'm just going to make it real quick. Okay. My daughter just came home from recovery on Thursday, right? Everything was good until Sunday. Sunday she had to go pick up her little money from her payee, right? And I didn't see her no more until that Tuesday. And it hurt so bad. You know why? Because she has her own place, no children, and this is not the first time it happened. Over maybe, I'm going to go way back. She went back. She's been doing it for a while, and it just hurt. And I'm just wondering, I'm forgiving her because I called the last night and told her, but I'm kind of tired now. I'm tired. She just came home. Everything was fine and whatnot. She stayed here with me. She went home to check on her own place. She went to go pick up a little cash. After that, I didn't hear from her, and I knew it then. She had about $300-something on it. It was gone. She called me last night, left me a little message, and said, I know you don't like me because I hate myself.
Oh, wow.
On my machine. Yes, she did. She told me she went to a meeting. I told her, Tamika, I don't know what to say or what to do, but I love you, and I'll talk to you later, and that was it.
Wow.
That was it. It's burning me. I could feel it in me now.
Yeah. Toby, I know you were going to
ask.
Yeah,
I think in those types of situations, which is, you know, rather delicate, it's just a matter of you just have to continue to breathe and be patient. You know what I mean? And just continue to offer love in as much as you don't wear yourself out, because there's a balance to this thing. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people are there.
I'm not going to cut, but I had to, like, I don't mind the money. I picked up all her bills. I did all her bills for her, right? Because she was away. And then she says, I'm going to get my money and I'm going to put your money up and we're going to do the okay. But ain't nothing happened. But I am tired. But you know, last night I did tell her, I said, I love you, but I'm kind of tired right now.
Yeah. So you have to be, you know, because water wears away rock. You know what I mean? The Grand Canyon was built by rivers, you know? So you have to, just be patient and understand something. And as hurtful as it is, some people are smack dab in the middle of their process.
Yeah.
So you have to be willing to count the cost. How far are you willing to go? Because like you said, you know, you never know when that turnaround may come. It may be like a year from now or what have you. But you know, you have to stay solid. You have to stay consistent. You know, in as much as you don't lose yourself in the process, because you have your own life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is since 1986.
Wow.
1986. I seen her clean 30 days here, 2 days here, 4 days here, you know?
Well, I'm going to ask you a brief question, and we are going to have to let you go.
Sure.
Are you talking to anyone? Are you seeing a counselor on just how to deal with your feelings about it? Because it's very clear that you care, and it's very clear that you're very concerned, but I'm concerned about how you are. Are you seeing anyone to talk about your feelings?
No.
I think it's important, and I'm not trying to say, you know, what you should do, but I think it's important to consider that so that you remain emotionally and mentally healthy, because this is it's a difficult situation to be in, and there's very little you personally can do for her. It sounds like you're doing everything that you can do, but you also have to be able to manage your feelings about that so that you're not feeling guilty that she is in this situation and continuing to be. So let me just suggest that you find someone to talk to as well.
Okay.
All right. This is just, you know, so that you can remain as healthy as possible as you deal with that.
Okay.
All right. So, well, please, if you don't mind checking in with us later, let me know how you're doing and let me know how your daughter is doing. Okay.
It's rough, sweetie.
I understand.
It's rough.
I understand, but please definitely consider having someone to talk to about your feelings on this. Okay?
All right, Godspeed.
All right, you take care.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Leon. Yeah, well, before we go to Leon, you know, that is so difficult. You're talking about parents who clearly love their children and they're dealing with addiction, or even if they have, like, other issues, if they have any mental health issues where they end up doing something that's pretty terrible, or if they don't do anything that's terrible at all, whatever their child is dealing with, of course the parent is going to feel
Absolutely.
For them,
that's
you
their,
know.
That's their child that they see.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's hard. Okay, let's take Leon, who's calling in from the Philadelphia area. Leon, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually going through a situation, and I definitely would like to hear you guys' perspective on it.
Okay.
The trust, I lost trust in my wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was having an affair for about a year, and I didn't find out about it till midway through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did find out about it and confronted her about it, of course, she lied and everything. And even as I confronted her about it, you know, it's still what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to this day, this happened in 2012, and it was up until 2013 with someone on our job.
Okay.
And to this day, you know, I know what the Bible says about forgiveness. You know, I fight with myself. It's just like, how can I just forgive somebody who clearly didn't care? Even though now, you know, she's saying, you know, she was just in a bad place. She, you know, that really wasn't her and everything. It's just what I went through, you know, and, you know, the level of disrespect, you know, she abused my name, you know, to this dude and, you know, talked about me as a parent, like, you know, just put me so far down and this man above, you know, me who's taking care of my children, my wife, working, you know, and like to this day, you know, like I said, it's from 2012 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
I believe now she has stopped, you know, and it's just, you know, when we try, you know, I try to get answers about it. It's just like, I don't know. You know, I was just used by the devil. No, there's a reason. not saying, you know what I mean? And that's the part that gets me. Is like, if you're not even willing to be honest as to how this came about and what led to it, you know, it's just,
it's hard
for me to trust you because I'm not getting the truth.
Right.
No, you have to find, in that, my God, you have to find your own just place of solace, man. Because, like you said, we're not in control of other people's actions and their rationales. And, you know, we try to make sense out of something that makes no sense. And so that adds to the confusion. So it is, you know, like Tiffany told the other caller, you know, you have to talk to somebody and fight and struggle to get to your own sense of self-peace mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Like, hands down, because it's a hurtful thing, because you're dealing with betrayal, you're dealing with, you know, just a whole host of things being undermined, and it's just, it's you know, it's just a, it's a mess of a situation. So, just for personally, as far as like crisis level situation, you have to get to your, find your way to get to your own self, a level of just self peace on all three levels.
And unfortunately, I'm down to like seconds in the show, so I wish I could. I could get a little bit deeper into the situation. I will also, again, suggest that you guys see someone, because it's really important that, one, you get to the root of it. You guys are one. You're married, so that you are, you know, you are one now. So you have to sort this out and get to the root of things, and then other decisions. It's hard to make any decisions if you haven't exhausted all of your options for talking about what's going on, what has happened, and really getting to the root of the problem. So suggest marital counseling. There's a show that comes on after this one. Listen to some of the stories there, or even call in and speak with Marcos and see what he has to offer, because they'll have more time than I have right at the moment.
Okay.
So, right. Yeah, I would suggest that. But definitely the first thing I'm going to say, seek counseling. Get to the root of it. All right. All right. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate you listening.
All right. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
Toby and Tiffany, oh my goodness, we heard so many amazing stories, but we want to see your story on film. It's not your real story, but the people that you play, it's called Myra's Angel. There's a screening coming up when?
Tiffany, tell them.
The screening is this coming Wednesday at the Pearl Theater in Broughton, Oxford, which is 1600 North 4th Street on Temple University campus. The movie starts at 7 p.m. After the movie, we're actually going to do a Q&A. So you guys will get to meet the cast. They'll get to ask, they'll get to ask any questions that they would like to ask. Mm-hmm. And the tickets are $12, so it's very reasonable. This will be, as I believe, this may be our only screening that we're doing.
Okay.
In Philadelphia. Awesome. So it would be great if everyone can come out and hear the story, see the story, and support the local actors in the area. And just come out and let us know what you think. And, you know, at that time, you probably say, people can probably share their stories with the audience, too. Because when you hear one person's story, it always helps you in what you're going with.
Amen.
What you're going through. And it lets you know you're not the only one.
That's dealing with something.
Yeah.
Tiffany, we got to run. Thank you so much, Tiffany Green, Toby Gaddison. Much love to both of you. Thank you for being a part of the program today. Much love to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry.
Larry.
Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bankin on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.